الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. قال تعالى: خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال تعالى: خلق الإنسان ضعيفا. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة إمام الدين، فمن أقامها أقام الدين، ومن تركها فقد هدم الدين. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة نور، الصيام جند، الصدقة برهان، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. مستشفى علماء الإكرام، رجل الإسلام، الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us and He has not left us alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mankind and He has given mankind a responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created ashraf al-makhlukat, mankind, and He has given us certain duties. The more we understand these duties, the more we understand and comprehend these responsibilities, the stronger our iman becomes. And the greatest thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the bonus of iman, the treasure of iman. Manoj Sakishat, son of Mufti Shafisa Ramadul Ali, explains Fazilat of Iman and states that Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, they were sent and they were blessed with divine protective revelation. What this means? That if there is a wall and you are looking at that wall, then you will see all what is before that wall, all what is on that wall. But you will not be able to see what is behind the wall. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, masoom, sinless, they gave us information of what is behind the wall. They gave us information what is going to happen in the cover. They gave us information what is going to take place when we die. They gave us info what is going to take place on the day of Qiyamah. They gave us information of the unseen. And we bring iman on the unseen. We bring faith on the unseen. They stated categorically, without doubt, that if you do certain actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you. And if you do certain actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath will come. If you do certain actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy comes. If you do certain actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nusrat, aid comes. If you do certain actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger comes. More we understand these things, more we make figure of these things, our iman will strengthen. And when iman strengthens, then automatically Islam will be external, that will strengthen. Because the basic rule is
The stronger the iman, the stronger the Islam. The weaker the iman, the weaker the Islam. During the time of ignorance, in the ayam of Jahiliya, in the time of ignorance, the era of ignorance and arrogance combined, and stubbornness coupled with it, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, was in charge, and he was the custodian of the Kaaba. As the respected elders, ulama ikram will bear witness that the Kaaba, having Arabic letters, Kaaf, Ayn, Ba, it means to protrude, to project, to pop out. That is why that same root combination is used for the word tawafim, meaning stars popping out. When you look at the stars on a starry night, then you feel as if to say they are popping out from the sky. The ankles you refer to as Kaabay because they pop out from here. The bone is running normal, then it pops out here. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing that scene, He says that when you go to Jannah, there'll be a woman having protruding breasts. Again, Taaf Ayn Ba is used there. Hazrat Shah Waliullah, Zanatul Alayh, in his Kitab, Al-Fawz al-Kabir, states this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran al-Kareem in Arabic language, and the Arabic language has its eloquence and beauty. And if you look at certain words, for example, having these roots, then it gives a definite meaning in a certain direction, like the word Kaaba. The first house on earth, the Kaaba, we believe that when the earth was created, then the first protrusion that took place was the Kaaba. After that, land spread from there to all corners of the world. Then it was subdivided later by the formation of oceans and stabilized by placing of mountains. Then the creation of the sky took place. The earth was created first and then the sky. Abdul Muttalib was the custodian of the Kaaba. Not far away from there, a place, Yemen, they were being ruled by a person called Ariyat. Ariyat was deputed by Negus. While Ariyat was ruling, then there was a person called Abraha in his military. Abraha wanted to become the ruler of Yemen. Abraha wanted to become the governor of Yemen. Abraha wanted to take Arya's position. Abraha had the normal urge of jealousy, of power, of lust, of position. So Abraha tricked Arya into a duel, and he created civil disorder in Yemen. When he created the civil disorder, then Arius was forced by the demand and wish of Abraha that let us have a duel, whosoever wins will remain the ruler of Yemen. Meanwhile, before this duel took place, Abraha prepared his slave and told him that if I am losing, then you must also be on my side and attack Arius. And this exactly happened. That when this duel took place, Abraha and Arya began to fight. Arya struck Abraha on the lips and on his head, causing a split. When Abraha was losing, then that slave came from the back and pierced Arya and killed him. Abraha now was the ruler of Yemen, now was the governor of Yemen. So he rose. Two diggers who were very upset about this. He said, Abraha took the position unjustly. Abraha is coming to rule in an unbecoming manner. So Abraha, using the political diplomacy of that age, he shaved off his head. He removed all his hair from his head, put it in a bag. He took some soil of Yemen, put it in a bag, and he sent a messenger to Nigel, stating that just as Arias was your servant, I am also your servant. Just as Yemen was in your control during the time of Arias, it is still in your control. Just as Yemen was your colony in the time of Arias, now too, the position has not changed. Just as Arias was obedient to you, I will be obedient to you also. So Negus, when he got this, he felt happy and pleased, and he blessed the whole land. Now Yemen was ruled by Abraham. Another name given to him. In the Islam says that if you call him Ashraf, meaning the split-faced one. Why? Because Arias had injured him and caused a split. So he decided to build a temple there. And he built a huge temple. He wanted to divert the people from the Kaaba. In the days of ignorance, the people should go for Hajj. The Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah Hajj. They should go and make tawaf. And they should make it in various sessions and modes. Their Hajj was different. They should go and make tawaf of the Kaaba. At first they should go and make it naked. And the men should go around the Kaaba naked. And those who are so far noble, they should place their head in the front and go around. And the woman folk should place one hand in the front and one hand in the posterior and go around the Kaaba. They should clap their hands. They should hoot, whistle, dance, sing, and go around the Kaaba. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected the elders, came in that society to reform those people. And he reformed those people. Later stage, the whole tawaf became commercialized. Outside the haram, there were people having stalls. They should sell clothing. The reason why they did not want to wear the clothing, they said that this clothing is haram. That this clothing we have bought out of illegal wealth. So we cannot use it. So outside they should rent a garment and put a garment on and then make tawaf of the Kaaba. So tawaf has become commercial. Deed was becoming commercial. Ibadat was becoming commercial. Like some places where deed, ibadat, all these things are becoming commercial. Buy one green cloth and put over the grave. Commercial racket. Take the green cloth, bring it back. Commercial racket. So Abraha built his temple, and people from Arabia, from the tribe of Kinaan, they were passing by. They burned part of that temple, and they stole part of the temple, and they proceeded. Abraha was infuriated, frustrated, became very angry. So he decided that he must take now a force, and he must take his army now. He must take his military. He must mobilize his forces and go to the Haram. He must go to Mecca. He must go to Kaaba, and he must destroy Kaaba. So he proceeded from Yemen. And as he proceeded, the tribe, the Arab tribe, he either made a pact with them, or he suppressed them, or he overruled them, or he bypassed them. And he was coming with his elephants to destroy the Kaaba. The elephant in those days was regarded as the most effective hardware, military hardware. He was coming with that. He was coming with foot soldiers. as he came right near Abdul Muttalib, grandfather of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, made mashwara what to do. So they decided that when that Abraha comes with his army, they will leave Makkah al-Mukarramah as they will go to the mountain side. When he came there and he encamped not far away from Makkah al-Mukarramah, when he encamped and now he was preparing for his final ground battle, he was preparing for it again. Meanwhile, what transpired? That while Abraha's troops were coming, they stole cattle of the shepherds, they stole the camels of the shepherds, and they were looting and going through. Abdul Muttalib was a camel owner. Hundreds of his camels were misplaced. Hundreds of his camels were lost. Hundreds of his camels were stolen. And he came to know that Abraha and his men have stolen them. So when Abraha was near, Abdul Muttalib sent a message to Abraha via a messenger that he was to talk to Abraha. So Abraha said, okay, who is Abdul Muttalib? So he was told, Abdul Muttalib is the custodian of the Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib is the caretaker of the Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib is the one who gives water to the pilgrims when they come. He and his father, he and his son. So he said, definitely you will talk to him. Abdul Muttalib, a man, he said, handsome person, walking with dignity and walking with waqar. And as he was approaching Abraha, seated on his mobile throne, then Abraha was very exciting. Abraha was anxious. Abraha was gloating. Abraha, shall I say, was gloating. And Abraha now was becoming like a proud person in the position. This happens daily also. That if you give certain person a position, before he gets a position, he beats everybody. Forty times a day, knock knock at the door. How are you? Don't worry, we'll give you land. We'll give you property, new premises coming. We'll negotiate something with the government. You know, we are for you. We are your well-wishers. You know, the other area is opening up there, so we'll get land for the permits, we'll get there. Nice houses there, we'll get business here. We'll tell you when the stock exchange is going this way, that way. We'll be in the parliament, we'll inform you of these things. Those poor families, they said, oh, don't worry, hampers will come to you, bread will come to you, sugar beets will come to you, baked beets will come to you. And then when he comes into power and sits on the power, then you can't meet it. Then you find he's gone to Amsterdam. Then you find he's gone to Cape Town. Then you find he's not there. Then you find you can't even see that fellow. Next election, you may see him again if he loses, or if the crowd comes to him. Then you come back to your door. That is why we have to praise the Tabligh Jamaat of Scripture Lesson. They come to the door without any motivation. They come to the door without motivation. They don't come there for vote. They don't come there for loan. They don't come there for donation. They don't come there to get you your daughter married. They're not looking for your son. They're not looking for a mechanic or a doctor. They come there for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We meet for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we have to give them credit and join them and aid them. Make Nusra of them. So Abraha tried what he now he was floating. You know, a tried gets a person. So when he goes to the toilet, he thinks he's in the toilet of Abraham. Abdul Muttalib said, Bawa Tarabi, Nero Dignity, and approaching. Now, negotiation. Spinning in Abraha's mind. Discussion spinning in Abraha's mind. Now the man has stopped the talk. Now that the open way, I'll be able to move over the Kaaba, annihilate it, demolish it, destroy it. Abdul Muttalib says, by the interpreter, Abraham asked, what you are? Abdul Muttalib said, I want my camels. 100 camels of mine are missing. You have stolen it, your men have stolen it, I want my camels. Abraham asked, is he right in there? Yeah, I'm coming to destroy the Kaaba. He's asking for his camels. Yeah, I'm coming to knock down the Kaaba. He's asking for his camels. He has come to knock down the center. He is asking for his camels. So Abraham asked him, that, what about the Kaaba? Listen to answer, he said to the answer. Listen to the answer. Abdul Muttalib says, the camels, I am the rub of the camels. I am the owner of the camels. I am the Malik of the camels. That is my responsibility to look after them, to care for them, to see for their security. The camels is my responsibility. The Kaaba, Rabb is the owner of the Kaaba. He is the custodian of the Kaaba. Protector of the Kaaba is Allah. Protector of the Kaaba is Allah. Custodian of the Kaaba is Allah. That is what he told Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib was infuriated. He was angry. And he told him, give him his 100 camels. Abdul Muttalib took his 100 camels with him. He went back to the Kaaba. And now he's holding the knocker of the Kaaba, the door handle of the door of the Kaaba, and he is praying. He is making dua. He is not a Tawahid. He is not a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not a believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is grandfather of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is mushrik. He is believer in Hadul, Shams, Laat, Manat, Uzza. He is making dua. But O Rabb of the Kaaba, we have got the means to protect the Kaaba. O Rabb of the Kaaba, you protect the Kaaba. O Rabb of the Kaaba, you secure the Kaaba. O Rabb of the Kaaba, we have secured our camels. O Rabb of the Kaaba, protect the house. O Rabb of the Kaaba, protect your house. Superpowers of that age were Persia and Rome. Abdul Muttalib did not write a letter, did not send a message to Persia. Allied forces are coming. Abraham and his elephants are coming, help me. He did not say that. Even the mushrik knew that protector of the Kaaba is Allah. Custodian of the Kaaba is Allah. Protector and custodian of the Kaaba is Allah. Securer of the Kaaba is Allah. The caretaker of the Kaaba is Allah. The one who secures the Kaaba is Allah. Not Abraham, not Persia, not Rome. Not the Allied forces, not Britain, not America. They knew it also. But Iman, weakness of Iman, makes the Allied forces come into the dressland. When that stand is taken, Abraham's elephant cannot move. Abraham's elephant refused to move. Abraham's elephant, when turned in the direction of the Kaaba, refused to stand. But Abraham's elephant, the chief elephant, when it was turned in any other direction, moved. Why? The will of Allah. Abraham has come with his best artillery. Abraham has come with the best hardware of the day. Abraham has come with the troops of the day. Abraham is the first to recognize. That is that time, no one is saying for caring for the Kaaba. They have left. They have left the Qutb Mukarrama. They have left the Harbay. They are in the mountains. Allah is the caretaker of the Kaaba. Why the belief is there? That is the belief. The taqat is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Taqat is not in the hands of the elephant. Taqat is not in the elephant. Power is in the hands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Power is not in chemicals. Power is not in the G5. Power is not in the B52. Power is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. is not in America. Power is not in prison. Power is not in class. Power is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslim. Realize this. Power is in Iman. Abdul Muttalib said, bow down to Persia and say, Persia and say. Abdul Muttalib said, bow down to Rome and say, Rome and say. Why? Because he knew that not to look after the Haramain. Custodian of the Haramain is Allah. No one else. Because power and power and might and qudrat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qudrat is not in the hands of the enemy. Qudrat is not in the hands of the nation of this earth. Qudrat by the presidential power is not in this country's hands. Power is not in those things. When we take our iman away from the hardware, when we take our iman away from the external, when we take our iman away from what we see, and we put our iman on what we do not see, then the help of Allah Ta'ala comes. Then the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala comes. But when we bow down to communism, when we have to run to Gorbachev, when we have to run from pillar to post, for artillery, for equipment, for hardware, then victory cannot come. Respected elders, victory cannot come. Very beside the Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه. This incident is famous. Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, in his era, that he stayed in Madinah to Munawwara, and he governed, and Islam spread most in the time of Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه. It is stated that something like 77 or 177 kilometers per day. East, west, or south. During his head, he should supervise military, administration, government, without moving from Madinah to Munawwara. In one battle, they could not get success. When they could not get success, then Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه wrote to them and stated that perhaps you are leaving out something of Sharia. Perhaps you are describing something of Sharia. That you must try to find out. So they made investigation and the observations, they realized that the miswak, which is Sunnah, was lesser. Miswak was utilized. Enemy looking at the soldiers of Islam, soldiers of Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, said these people are waiting each other. And they are preparing the seat, so they surrender without any help. Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided victory was over. Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam lesser, victory was over. Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam not practice upon, victory was over. If you observe what was happening in the Gulf, if you look at Iraq, although we say with confidence that Iraq took on 39 nations, surrendered according to Western propaganda, according to the UN resolution, but according to information that he surrendered not on the UN resolution, he surrendered on his own resolution. But I'll tell you just how. The total victory, Iraq is nothing. If you look at the soldiers there, if you look at the Iraqi soldiers, that the beard which is wajib, compulsory to keep, they are not able. That which is wajib, if you are discarding, how can the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala? That which is compulsory, if you are not doing, how can the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into humanity? Aid of Allah ta'ala came there, no doubt. Nusrat of Allah ta'ala came there, no doubt. Weather conditions were changing, daily, no doubt. Tanks of the allies were disappearing, no doubt. Planes were disappearing, no doubt. When will victory ready to come? When will we win? When will we win this war? When will we win this jihad? When we become good Muslims? When we become practical Muslims, When Muslims become Muslim, then the Nusrat of Allah will come. When Muslims will become those crying for the Nusrat of Allah, the aid of Allah Ta'ala will come, the support of Allah Ta'ala will come. But if you butcher the Sharia, if you leave the Sharia, if you massacre the Wajibah, if you slaughter the Akkad of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, how can the Nusrat of Allah Ta'ala come? How can the aid of Allah Ta'ala come? How can the support of Allah Ta'ala come? You have to please Allah Ta'ala for his support to come. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the Battle of Badr, 330 Sahaba against 1,000 Mushrik Kafirs, 330 ill-equipped, 1,000 equipped, 330 who have got no or very little camels, 1,000 fully equipped with camels that have got horses, 330 few swords amongst them, 1,000 many swords amongst them. 330 when they reach the battlefield, they are in a bad position according to what said of the tactics. No water around them. Swampy area. 1,000 water facilities, better position. 330 has got an iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 1,000 has got an iman in their horses, in their water, in their artillery, in their hardware. Nusrat way it comes. Aid where it came, help where it came, support where it came, victory where it came. It came on the side of the Muslim who has unquestionable faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What? Victory is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. To change the situation is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. To give overwhelming victory over. Quantity and quality is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To destroy Abraha and his elephants, respected elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not set the beef institute. To destroy Abraha and his elephants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set out feathers carried by followers. According to some, they call it followers. But it's a small bird. Allah Jindya Bhattra Jaya Allah Ta'ala says that there is a bird which was seen that day and not seen afterwards. Feathers to destroy elephants. Look at the size. So its size does not lie in might. Its size does not lie in power. Its quantity does not lie in power. But Qudrat is in the hands of Allah. Power is in the hands of Allah. We please Allah, Allah's Qudrat comes out. We displease Allah, Allah's wrath comes out. According to our report, that more than 400 Al-Husayn ibn Khayyat were thrown into Israel. According to our report, the people coming from India have seen on their television that the patriot missiles were not working. And the president of America had rushed to on the television, turned off his neck to announce ceasefire because the Republican Guard has killed about 35,000 of these people, which are very sick. And those who have died in Khabji are either sent to Japan or Germany to be buried. Nevertheless, whatever is happening is a lesson for us, is a deterrent for us. That we as Muslims, we have to get our facts right, our values right, and change and reform. Change and reform. Deaths are occurring there. People are dying. In our country, people are dying under the patients. Riots are taking place. Strikes are taking place. Now we are going to go through a post-apartheid season. And everybody wants to know what's going to happen. And everybody will worry. And as Muslims, we say, we are worried about our Islam. As Muslims, we say, we are worried about our deen. But are we truly worried? First question. Are we truly worried about our Islam or are we worried about our deen? Are we worried about our deen or our testing? Are we worried about our Islam or our highness? Are we worried about our deen whether we can follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the knowledge these things that are attached to us in the sense. Are we worried that our luxuries are going to go, our comfort are going to go, or Islam is going to go? Are we worried that we are going to be able to give azan aloud or open our shops and holiday? So that we have to determine. Sit down carefully and determine. Sit down, look at the mirror, look at ourselves, take stock. See whether we look and feel like Muslims and believe like Muslims, and take stock and then decide. Each one can decide for himself. Laws are great. We can go in that area, they can come in our area. We can go stay in that area, they can come and stay in our area. We can stay there, they can stay here. Now what is going to happen? Certain people who suffer from impurity complexes, that if they're going to reach and stay and make business and now become close to the white man, then you'll feel that he's coming up. What he wants in life he'll achieve. Now you'll dress like that. Now you'll behave like that. Now you'll talk like that. Now you'll speak like that. Now his actions will change like that. Now the alcohol and say that. Now the haram and say that. Remember, the condition in this country, conditions in this country, conditions in any locality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determines it on the condition of the Muslims. If the Muslim is a Muslim, if the Muslim is practical, if the Muslim is following the Sharia, if the Muslim is following the Ahkam of Allah, if the Muslim is following what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought for us, if the Muslim is pleasing Allah, then under any circumstances, the Muslim will be saved. Let alone the Muslim, the animal will be saved. Provided the Muslim pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bukhari they come the hadith. In Bukhari they come the hadith. That a bird called flamingo. And this bird, Mullah Ali Qari writes about this bird, that he sees this bird travel 500 miles during migration time. Birds move around, hot conditions they come there, cold conditions they move away from. He said, I've seen this bird. This bird is a strong bird. This bird has got the ability to go 500 miles. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it. Because of the Muslim's amal, because of the Muslim's action, because of his behavior on earth, that bird dies. How does bird die? Ulama has written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes displeased with that Muslim community and changes that weather condition. It becomes so cold that bird dies. So conditions in this country, faith of us in this country, respected elders, faith, our destiny in this country, our destiny in this country does not lie in the AFC. Destiny does not lie in the AFC. Destiny does not lie in the CP. Destiny does not lie in the AFC. Destiny does not lie in the PNC. Destiny does not lie in the AK-47. Destiny does not lie in the armor. Destiny does not lie in the armor. Destiny does not lie in bootlegging with politicians. Destiny does not lie in any white political party. Destiny does not lie in any black political party. Destiny does not lie in bootlegging any black political party or white political party. Destiny is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Hearts of mankind is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. If we please Allah Ta'ala, Allah will bring good conditions. If we do not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will destroy us. Allah will annihilate us. Allah will finish us, irrespective of whether we are millionaires, irrespective of whether we have got the finest arms in our houses. Small people will come and destroy us. Little youngsters will be given so much awe that they will overpower us. Every move these days, pleasing this political party, pleasing that business class, pleasing that fellow, and trying to do good for that political man. Where is our imam? Where is our taqaza of imam? Where is our demand of imam? It is written on the wall, respected elder. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will bring good conditions. Otherwise, what happens in drama will happen. ولكن مزبي والهبل، ولكن أنغولا والهبل، ولكن إنديا والهبل، ولكن باكستان والهبل. Number one thing, respected elders, that the Russians invaded Afghanistan, and if you look at the Afghani, their history just before the Russian invasion, see how Islamic they were. See how much they applied to Sharia. See how practical Muslims they were. Whether they were pleasing Allah or not. Whether they were looking like Muslims or not. Special elders. History, the corridor of history shows that those were makeshift Muslims. Those were literal Muslims. Those were Muslims by day and something by night. And some Muslims by night and something by day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Russians there to teach them a lesson and a form of punishment. Look at what has happened in the Gulf, respected elders. Kuwait, Iraq, Iran, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Syria. Look, are they good Muslims? Are they practical Muslims? Do you see Muslim on the face? Do you see Muslim in the perfection? Are they earning the pleasure of Allah or the wrath of Allah? Are they invoking the mercy of Allah or the anger of Allah? What are they? Special elders. Before all, you can see their houses, their clubs, February, 50, finances of sectarian verses are they? Finances of the casinos of the world are they? Biggest singers and the gamblers of the world are they? Womanizers, wine drinkers, adventurers, fornicators, evil doers, evil transgressors, those that are exceedingly bound of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we expect? Help of Allah ta'ala or punishment of Allah? Aid of Allah ta'ala or wrath of Allah? What has happened there? We are seeing it. Allah ta'ala is showing us how fortunate that staying near the center of Islam, staying near the Kaaba doesn't mean that you are protected. Staying near the Kaaba doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you. This is a form of a punishment that has brought over us. This is a form of a lesson, a severe lesson, that we should take heed of, that what happened there can happen yet. And you will see happening and you won't be able to do anything when it is too late if you do not reform and change. And now, if you look at it from another angle, that Russia has tested its hardware in Afghanistan. Russia has tested the artillery in Afghanistan. America has an overload of hardware and artillery. They did not know where to test it. They have tested it on us. They have used us. They have used Muslim against Muslim. They have slaughtered Muslim against Muslim. Muslims are dying. Muslims are killing Muslims. Muslims are massacring Muslims. All so that their hardware can be disposed of, paid for, and new ones can be produced. But Allah willing, the scenario is thus set. That Russia knows the power of America and America knows the power of Russia. Sooner or later they are going to test each other. We should make sure that they do not use the shoulders of the Muslims to test their equipment. Remember, loss of a life. Remember this. Loss of a life, be it Muslim or non-Muslim, is loss of a life. Loss of a Muslim life is valuable. Loss of a non-Muslim life means that person could have been given a chance and we can give power and could have become a Muslim. So loss of any property of anybody, loss of anything of anybody, Muslim or non-Muslim, is a loss. And for us it is certainly, remember clearly, stop oppression. Stop oppression. Stop suppression. Stop exploitation. Pay the people well. A human being is a human being. Treat it like a human being. When I was saying Hazrat, Dawud Barakatuhum, when he was here, many years ago he stated this. That treat everyone like a human being. Stop oppression. Do the work of Dawud. Please take it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped with them. Certain people feel that now apartheid is going to conclude. Certain people feel that now apartheid is going, we are going to be free. We are going to be free now. We can go into now the white city area. We can go down into the casinos around them. We can go down into the gambling places. Now we can go to the country. Now we can go to the dancing nation. Now we can go where the sin is taking place that is flexible. Now we can go to the areas of sin. Now we can stay where we want so that no one touches us. Now we can go stay so that no one will know that I am a Muslim is staying there. That's the freedom. Now I can go, that's freedom. Now I can speak, that's freedom. Now I can move around, that's freedom. Respected elders. Freedom is when we free ourselves from the fire of Jahannam.